Bible mysteries. As all of our Bible studies, our studies are line upon line, precept upon precept, letting the doctrines of Christ interpret the Bible for us. This is an exhaustive study on the words mysteries and secrets in the Bible. Now, this list that we're going to be looking at, again, every place in the Bible where the words secrets or mystery comes up. But there's a lot more mysteries. The Bible is full of mysteries. But, of course, this is specific things that God wants us to know, especially towards the end times. But nevertheless, the book of Revelation alone is probably, I can say, 100, maybe hundreds, but at least 100 maybe mysteries in the book of Revelation alone. That's full of mysteries. These are things hard to be understood. So even when we go into the Gospels, we take all these parables that Jesus spoke, and each one of these parables reveals a mystery. It reveals secrets. It reveals the things concerning the kingdom of heaven, gives us spiritual understanding, spiritual insights. And the same is true throughout the entire Bible. So again, this is an exhaustive study on the words where God refers particularly to mysteries and secrets. But again, the Bible has thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of mysteries, but definitely thousands, I'm pretty sure I could say. Okay, so anyway, let's look into mysteries of the Bible. Proverbs 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The heaven for height, the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, Come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Psalm 139:17. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that raise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoils. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. We have the mind of Christ, and we find that between the books of Genesis and Revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of God which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. God reveals his secret unto his servants. We read in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. We read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 34, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. 1 Corinthians 14, 24, but if all prophecy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Things revealed belong to us and our children. We read in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong to Jehovah our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. We read in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations, for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Psalms 25:14. The secret of Jehovah is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Proverbs 3:31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the forward is abomination to Jehovah, but his secret is with the righteous. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be retrobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not retrobates. The mysteries of the revelations of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now Jesus spoke many parables, and we're going to cover a lot of parables that focus in on the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, or so on and so forth. As we go through these parables, you're going to discover that almost all these parables talk about a warning concerning the assault upon the kingdom of God by Satan and his demons. Now, there are two parables that Jesus interprets for us, so that's sort of a lesson in order to know how to interpret a parable. So we'll read those two, and then we'll get into a lot of parables that Jesus spoke concerning the kingdom of God. We read in Matthew 13, verse 1, the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shores. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell by stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depthness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath the ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, you know, there's also a historical parable here also. The Bible is filled with historical parables. It's filled with just regular parables too. Parable is an earthly story expressing, heavenly things, eternal things, spiritual things. A historical parable is a fact of history that we can see and understand as a parable. And the New Testament is filled with that type of a parable, at least the four Gospels. When we read here that Jesus went into a ship and sat, you know, the ship identifies with the corporate church. And to sit is to rule or to teach. And there is one of the other Gospels, I think it might be Luke or it could be Mark, but one of those two Gospels adds a little bit onto this, and he said he sat in the sea, which was an interesting picture. Of course, he's sitting in a ship that's in the sea. But the idea of sitting in the sea is ruling over the world, because the sea identifies with the world. To sink down into the depths of the water identifies with being cast into eternal damnation, a picture of being cast into hell. The shore identifies with a picture of getting to the other side, which is, of course, entering into the kingdom of heaven at the ends of our lives. Now, I'm not going to interpret too much more, because Christ is going to do that interpretation for us. But I do want to make one note, and we're going to pick this up in some other places. The word fowls is also interpreted sometimes as birds. So that's an important note, because we're going to see a little later something about birds. Okay, so let's pick up. Let me reread the last verse here, Matthew 13, verse 11. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear the parable of the sower. Matthew 13:18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth it away, that which was sown in the heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony ground, a stony place, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he had not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seeds onto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So again, we see the assault upon the gospel by Satan. The wicked one comes and catches that which is sown in the heart. Okay, there is now the parable of the tares. We read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He saith unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, least while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. Okay, and this gives us a little picture of the end of the world, because when God says gather up the tares first, and bind them into the bundles, and burn them, that is judgment. And that particular place that God is talking about ultimately is the church. And so judgment is going to come upon the church before the Lord gathers his wheat. The interesting picture about wheat and tares is it looks the same. You can't tell the difference until it flowers. So they grow together and everything looks fine. And then once they bring forth the fruit, which is bring forth the wheat, then it's seen that some of these are not the children of God. So here Jesus explains this parable. Again, hear the parable of the tares. Matthew 13:36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And by the way, the field has two different meanings. It could be the world or it could be the corporate church. The corporate church is identified with the world. Again, Christ is talking about the world at this point. And then we're going to see a little later where a man buys the field. And when he buys the field, in other words, it's a place that is bringing forth the wheat, the gospel is being preached, and a church has been created. And then we'll see that other picture where the man buys that field. And then, of course, that identifies with the place where the gospel is preached and taught. There is the inner sanctuary. There is the outer sanctuary. The outer sanctuary is the bottom, is the body of Christ. It's the children of God. I'm sorry, did I say outer? I think it's meant inter. The inner sanctuary is the children of God. The outer sanctuary is the corporate church. But the people in that corporate church, as long as the body of Christ is in that corporate church and there's control in the corporate church and bringing forth the gospel, then the true gospel is being preached and people are becoming born again. They are becoming sanctified by the hearing of God's word. So let's read the parable, Matthew 13:36. We'll pick up in 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And that also identifies those sowing the good seed is also the body of Christ, because Christ is within us, and he continues to bring the gospel through us until the ends of the world. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels or the messengers. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. Okay, picture of judgment. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath the ears to hear? Let him hear. Now the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. We read in Matthew 13:31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now here, his field, this is identifying with the corporate body. It identifies with the world because it's worldly. God refers to it as Jerusalem below, or talks about the bondwoman, the son of the bondwoman, where the body of Christ is the son of the free woman, which is Jerusalem above. But in any event, took mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air, now that word birds is the same word as fowls, and it's a much better interpretation if we look at this, so that the fowls of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And God has told us that the fowls ultimately identifies with the unsaved, or with Satan. Now the birds of the air, the word air identifies with conversation, okay? Without air, we don't have conversation. We speak into the air, and of course, the ear picks it up through vibrations, and we understand each other through language. So it's a place of conversation. When there is no air, there can be no conversation. But the birds of the air, the birds that have conversation, come and lodge in the branches thereof. And the branches, we are the branches, the Bible teaches us, so identifies with the body of Christ. So they lodge with us. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now again, this is another parable warning us concerning the enemy coming in, bringing in damnable heresies, bringing in the doctrines of men. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, a woman identifies with the corporate church, and hid in 3 measures of meal. The meal identifies with the word of God, 3 identifies with the purpose of that meal, which is Christ came and died for sinners like us, and that's the gospel message, and that is the meal. The woman, again, is identifying with the corporate church. If we go into the book of Revelation, there's 2 women. There is one that is the queen, it's the bride of Christ, and there's the other one that is the harlot that claims to be the queen. And so one is the corporate body, the other is the spiritual body. And as long as the church is bringing forth the gospel through the teaching and preaching by the body of Christ, then that corporate church will mimic that message and participate in the sending out of that gospel out into the world. And through that, many will become saved. Okay, so in any event, a little leaven. Now, leaven, we've in another study, I don't think we got it in this study, but a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, the Bible tells us. And Christ tells us, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. And he makes it very clear, leaven is the doctrines of the scribes and Pharisees. So this leaven is the scribes of false teachers and preachers and so on. So a woman, the corporate body, has taken the leaven, the doctrines of men, mixed it in with God's word, 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leaven. At this point, even though there's a little gospel in there, the whole has been leavened and destroyed by the doctrines of men. Now, of course, we can hear the word and we can know and discern the difference of what is of men and what is of God, because we are to be interpreting the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept, comparing scripture with scripture. That's how we come to understandings. So anyway, she hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure, We read in Matthew 13:44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. The treasure is in the field, in the world, or in the church. And the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. So the treasure in the field identifies with the world, but when he buys that field, it identifies with the corporate body, still identifies with the world, of course, but the picture of buying it is identifying with the corporate church, the place where the gospel is not going to be preached. Matthew 13:51, Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe, which is a secretary, which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and old. And ultimately, where do these treasures come from? These treasures come from the heart. And who put the treasures into that heart? God put those treasures into our heart by the reading and studying and looking into God's word, and we fill our heart with God's treasures. We don't look at and deal with the treasures of the world, which is lust and all different things, but we're concerned with filling our heart and our soul with the treasures of God, the word of God. Proverbs 2:1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, there it is, that's what we're putting into the heart, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if we ask God for understanding, he will answer. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou know, understand the fear of Jehovah and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 15:6, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, God's word, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The kingdom of heaven is like seeking pearls. We read in Matthew 13:45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, or goodly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he hath and bought it. And goodly pearls identify with God's word, and especially the teaching and preaching of God's word in order to reveal the secret things of God. But God tells us in Matthew 7:6, concerning those pearls, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. They have no fear of God, and they're going to trample upon God's word. You know, swine identifies with the unsaved, and ultimately filled with Satan and his demons. So we don't want to give unto that which is holy unto dogs. And so when you have conversation with people and you start bringing the truths to them that we know is true, and they deny it, they argue, they debate, well, we better not be giving our pearls unto swine. Of course, if they're listening very quietly and considering what we're saying, we continue to teach and preach to whoever will hear. But as soon as they start to bring the resistance in, we are not to cast our pearls before them, because they will take that and they will rend us and they will trample upon God's word. They will bring private interpretations. The kingdom of heaven is like a net. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So this is a very interesting picture we see here again. They're sitting down, they sat down and gathered the good into the vessels. That is identifying, we bring in the gospel and bringing in the sheaves. But casting the bad away is the picture of the tares, and they're to be judged first, and then the body of Christ will be brought into God's kingdom, or into eternity in God's kingdom. We read in Matthew 4:16, which is going to give us a little more information on this net. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the regions and shadows of death, light is sprung up. That light is Christ, the Word of God. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." When we compare this with Luke chapter 5, verse 4, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for the draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing." And that's a picture of the Old Testament, so to speak. You know, we're bringing in the gospel, and really very little is being taken in. You know, most Jews were unsaved. That's just the standard, just like most Christians are unsaved. You know, there's only a remnant saved by grace, both in Old Testament and New Testament. But the nation of Israel acted like a church, a protected area, just like any nation that is a Christian nation acts as a protection of the body of Christ. So when Simon answered and said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and a net break. Okay, so this picture, you know, again, the sea identifies with the world. The ship I sent identifies with the corporate church, or the people in the corporate in the church, being sent out into the world to bring forth the gospel. The net is the gospel. It's the gospel net. The fishes are men. And, of course, that which is brought in, the bad is cast out, and the good is brought to the shore, which is a picture of going into eternal heaven with God. Mystery of God's will. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Now, did you hear that? This is before we were even born, before the world was even created. Let me reread verse 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." We are his workmanship. He does the work in us. Verse 5. "Having predestinating us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ in himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." There are many people out there that reject this message. They got to have something to do with this salvation. Well, no, God offers it. We have to accept it. That's not true. We will accept it because God makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we are thankful for that. Because if he didn't, we never will. And if we claim to, usually it'll be attached, of course, with false doctrines, the doctrines of men, another gospel, another Jesus, because it'll swell up through the leaven. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. So let me reread that, verse 5. This is an extremely important lesson to learn. You know, those of us who are nursing off the milk of the Word and have not gotten to the meat of the Word, they may have trouble with this, but generally speaking, they will continue to listen. But if they become debating in this and argumentative, remember what God told us, don't cast your pearls before swine. Back off, they're not going to listen. So, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and to the glory of the grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. This is the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward, who believed according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The mystery of God's grace. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We had withered hands, we could not reach forth and eat off the tree of life, which is Christ. We were spiritually blind, we didn't see the light until he gave us the ability to give us the eyes to see, because we were blind. We didn't have the ears to hear, he gave us the ears to hear. He gave us the will to respond. And he drew us to himself. So you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the place of conversation, the conversations of the world, the spirit that now worketh in the children in disobedience, of whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we could see that we're in the world and having conversations according to the prince and power of the air. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. If we were dead, we can't do anything. Can't walk, can't talk, can't see, can't hear, can't reach forth, can't get up, can't do anything. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's the hearing of the word of God responding. God gives us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and respond so we see the light. We heard the word, and we responded, and the faith started to be built in us. We had faith in Christ. For the grace are ye saved. God gave us the ability through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not even reaching forward, because you can't reach forward until God gives us the ability to reach forward, to take God's word, to eat off that tree of knowledge. a tree of good of well the tree which is Christ bringing forth the fruits, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He's the one that did working in us, not us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Mystery of Christ and the Church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. For said is the living water, the word of God, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, we of his flesh, and of his bone. And for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be joined unto the wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The mystery of all Israel shall be saved. Now, this is an important one, because any church that I've ever been in since my walk with God has always taught that all of Israel is going to be saved at the end of the world. They teach a lot of different things that just they just don't understand these things. Who is Israel? Israel is my son. Who is the son of God? Christ is the son. Who is the body of Christ? We are the body of believers are the body of Christ. We are Israel. Israel is my son. This is extremely important to understand in order to understand this mystery. All Israel shall be saved. All the body of Christ shall be saved. All that he has chosen shall be saved, both Old Testament and New Testament. Most Jews are unsaved. As God said, many are called, but few are chosen. We read in Romans chapter 11, verse 1, Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart, and that's the key, believing in your heart. Words are cheap. A lot of people claim they believe, but they don't really believe, because go look at their hearts. They need to look at their own hearts to see what treasures do they have in their hearts. Do they have the commandments of God? Are they being obedient to God's word? Do they have a love relationship with God through his word? We love him because he first loved us. And we know that we love him because we love his word. We know who he is through his word. Let me reread that, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, they come together, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So like I said, talk is cheap. A lot of people who make claims, they believe, but their heart is far from him, the Lord tells us. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So, and here the word so means in this fashion. In this fashion, then, faith cometh from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. That's how we build our faith, spend your time in the Bible. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, truly, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. And this is very important. I don't know that many understood this. I know I clearly didn't understand this until recent years. But, you know, this idea of bringing the gospel to the whole world, that has been done, and that was done completely, 100%, in the days of the disciples. After Christ had risen, and Pentecost has come, and he poured out his Spirit upon all flesh, those who were there, and they went forth into all the world, every nation, and preached the gospel. And the response was great. I mean, in so much that we even, you know, judge time by our Lord, B.C. and A.D. So faith comes from hearing from the Word of God. It is extremely important to understand this, that the gospel has gone out. And it continues to go out. You know, some nations don't receive it. You know, you go to China, but there are still believers there. You go to a lot of the different nations in the Middle of East, and they got this. They worship Baal. They worship someone other than Jesus, and yet there are still believers there too, because Christians are everywhere throughout the entire world, and God will get the word, His message, out to all of His elect. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say unto you, have they not heard? Yes, truly, their sound went into all the earth, and their words, it's already done, and their words unto the ends of the world. That brings us to our day, all the way to the ends of the world. Romans 11:19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation. Those are the strangers. Those are the Gentiles. I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. You see, the Gentiles didn't ask after Christ. But of course, the gospel went out unto them. For if God spared not the natural branches, that of course identifies with the Jew, take heed lest he also spare not you or thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. So, look, the gospel is going out to the whole world, to Jew and Gentile. And of course, to, you know, look, Gentiles identify today, generally speaking, as Christians and non-Christians, and that's more referred to in the Bible as strangers. You know, if we grow up in a Christian home, we're not strangers, okay? We may be Gentiles, but we're not strangers. We have the gospel, we know it, and at some point maybe we respond to that gospel and we become born again. But then there are those that were not brought up in a Christian home that have no knowledge, just like the Jew, okay? You know, before Christ came, the Gentiles were all strangers. But now, you know, of course, the gospel is going forward. And so the nations that are responding to the gospel, that never had the gospel, let's say, people in that nation or whatever it may be, again, they are, you know, strangers. But God is bringing forth the word to his people, to his children. So let's get back here. Let's see. Let's pick up in verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. So the many Jews who are still unbelieving, they can be grafted in. They also will respond if that's God's will. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, that really ultimately identifies with Gentiles, and were grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive trees? You know, again, they have a lot of knowledge of the Bible, the Old Testament particularly, and if God moves their heart to see, to open their eyes to be able to see, opens their ears to be able to hear, the knowledge that they have in the Old Testament and the teachings of the Old Testament will become very obvious very quickly to them that Christ is Lord and that he is the Savior and he came into this world to die for sinners like us. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Okay, and this is a mystery. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And it is in this fashion, the word so means this fashion, and in this fashion all Israel shall be saved. All of the body of Christ, all of God's chosen, Jew, Gentile, stranger, all of that collectively together, becoming born again, is Israel, the Son of God, the body of Christ, the Jerusalem above. And so all Israel, in this fashion, all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now, of course, Jacob is taking us to the Jews, giving us a picture of the Jews, taking away all godliness from the Jews. But this also identifies with Christian, okay? You know, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, okay? And that gives us the picture of becoming born again. And if we are God's elect, before we become born again, we're all Jacob's. You know, until God creates in us a new heart, a clean heart, and renews a right spirit, the Holy Spirit within us, makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure, now we become Israel. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And we compare this to Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew. He is of Christ. He is born again. He is the children of God. He is a Jew. He is Israel. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Romans 9:26. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of children of Israel be as the sand of the sea. Okay, that extends all the way to the end of the world. A remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Mystery, we shall not all sleep. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Dead shall be risen, raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for so much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The mystery of iniquity. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. As that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. That word's two words, falling away, is actually the word apostasia, to go apostate. The churches are going to go apostate. They're going to be mixed with the doctrines of men. And there'll be many false prophets. The nature of the Great Tribulation is false prophets, and those coming with another Jesus, with another gospel. Again, mixing. We've been warned in this study. The kingdom of heaven, and it, God laid out very clearly how the enemy has been assaulting the church throughout the entire New Testament era, and at the end of the world, he's going to bring judgment upon the those who are bringing in these damnable heresies. So let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except unless there come an apostasia first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, all that is worship, so that God, he as God, sitteth in the temple, in the corporate church, in the temple of God, in the body of unbelievers, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie. I think we're going to do a study on that, all the delusions that God has sent into the churches that have gone apostate. That they believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, the nature of the Great Tribulation, as I said, is false Christ and false prophets, bringing in damnable heresies. But the Great Tribulation is megas tribulus. That's the Greek, megas tribulus. Megas means large, not intensity. It's not the intensity that is in focus. It's the largenesses. It's everywhere. It's complete. It's worldwide. We read in Ezekiel 28:13, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering: the sardos, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold, and workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so." He was supposed to protect the garden, but he led them into sin. "Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee." And, of course, that's the picture of Satan. He's going to take a seat in the temple. And God tells us that we be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come the apostasy at first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Mystery Babylon. Revelation 17:1, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great Whore that sitteth upon many waters." Now we know that sitting is ruling, and waters is identifying with the voices of many, many waters, many nations, many words, many false prophets, those bringing in damnable heresies, with whom the kings of the earth, the body of Christ is no longer in charge, they're no longer ruling. The two witnesses have been killed, and now they have the kings, their own kings. The kings of the earth have committed fornication, chasing after other gods, another Jesus, another gospel, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk, and that is the corporate church, with the wine of her fornication. "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw the woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names and blasphemies, having seven heads, 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones." She had the gospel. She's got the Bible. "And pearls, having the golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, the doctrines of men. And upon her forehead was the name, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the corporate church, of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angels said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and shall go into perdition." You know, there's a lot here. We can't really get too deep into the spiritual understanding. We did a study in Revelation, and people can go back and look into that, but maybe we'll do a study just very focused on Mystery Babylon, because there's a lot to interpret here. Okay, "And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names, am I saved, am I saved? No, am I saved? I'm not sure if I'm saved. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, and they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads of the seven mountains, that identifies with the seven churches, the high places, on which the woman sits. She's ruling in Babylon, the churches that have gone apostate. It's a completeness, a full completeness throughout the world. And there are seven kings, five are falling, one is, and the other is yet to come." Again, that requires Bible study to get into a lot of this, interpretation. And when he cometh, he must say, he continue a short space. "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition, into eternal damnation. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. That 1 hour identifies with the Great Tribulation. We've done studies on that also. These have one mind and shall give the power and strength on to the beast. Now these 10 horns, 10 is the completeness of what God has in view. Horns identify with power, ultimately the word of God. And the 10 kings that are identifying with these 10 horns is identifying with those who are bringing a false gospel, heresies into the church. Mystery Babylon. Revelation 17:14, and these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. And he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the who is sittest are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. You see, it's the language, it's the conversations of the people. And the 10 horns which thou sawest in the beast shall hate the woman, because the word of God is a contrary to her, shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate. The body of Christ will not be there anymore. And naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. The eating of the flesh is the consuming into sin. The eating of the flesh. For God hath put it in their heart to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beasts until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. All right, that brings us to the end of tonight's study. Lord willing, we'll see you next Wednesday. Good night.
Good night.